We'll try this one more time. Peace be with you, brothers and sisters. I imagine our people watching the live streaming is also saying the same. Today we'll be continuing another series, which is on the Psalms of the Sons of Korah. Today we'll be looking at Psalm 42. Let me read to you from Psalm 42, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have become my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I will go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, and I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all of your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night, His song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemies? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, and I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray for your Spirit to be with us, to be at work amongst us, to draw, make us in connection with you. Help us to know you, to know your word, and to live out your word. And all this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When shall I come and appear before God? Some of us may have been asking that question repeatedly for the past 3 months, since the end of March. Because we have been separated from this worship hall. We hope to come back to God in worship and to really appear before God, maybe to present ourselves before God. Now, this may seem like an irrational desire, since theologically speaking, we can justify and say that, yes, indeed, God is everywhere. It doesn't matter where we worship, whether it's physically in church right now for some of us, or maybe we are worshiping at home for most of us, actually. God is there wherever and whenever we are in worship. God's presence is therefore not dependent on our sensory feelings. It's not only when we feel it, then God is there. It is not like that. We are connected to God in the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. So God's presence is a theological truth based on who God is. But I understand that emotionally, we might feel that there is a real difference in the experience of actually worshiping in church on site. Maybe it's the architecture, you know, the liturgical decor of a worship environment, a church. And certainly the liturgical colors that we see and the stained glass image of the cross, all these contribute to an immersive, worshipful environment. It could be the welcoming faces of the brothers and sisters in fellowship. Though as part of the safety measure, we must continue to keep our safe distancing and half our faces, you know, is hidden by a mask. But I can sense an immediate connection between us somehow. It's like when we are gathered as one people in this place, there is a palpable kinship that comes from seeing one another eye to eye, eye to eye, and eye to eye with you at home, but not so easy with the camera. We can see one another literally. So with this separation from Outram Road, it breeds this longing in the hearts, a longing to return to this place, to worship, a longing to meet God and to be present here physically. I still feel it just now as I was driving and parking at YWCA. It's a sense of as if I have come home. Now this psalm today expresses such sentiments, you know, perfectly. For the psalmist, there is a real longing to go back to worship in the Jerusalem temple. For the people of Israel, there are three pilgrimage festivals: the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Sukkot, or what is known as the Festival of Tents, or the Festival of Tabernacles, where they will make their tri-annual visit to the Jerusalem temple. So you can imagine, oh, the crowd and the atmosphere in Jerusalem during those festival times. In the ancient days, it is estimated that the number of worshippers can reach almost 3 million in Jerusalem by New Testament times during such festivals. So the exuberance of the pilgrimage, you know, all the way to the Jerusalem temple, it is not just in Jerusalem itself, but as you can imagine, throughout the entire road trip, as more and more pilgrims come and join along with the traveling cohort. In expressing to God about meeting him in Jerusalem, the psalmist was also reminiscing about the good old times of worshipping there. He says, "These things I remember, how I will go along with the throng, you know, the crowds, the people, and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and song of praise, with a multitude keeping the festival." I think we can all identify with the joy and cheer of a festival. Immediately when the Singapore elections are announced this week, I see some on social media, you know, who are already reminiscing about past election rallies, about this excitement of the huge crowds, something that we will not be experiencing this year. And they shared about how they thoroughly enjoyed themselves, even if they are not in the crowd. Maybe they are just standing along the corridors of the surrounding HDB flats. Oh, they were talking about it. Now, I must admit that I, for one, generally avoid crowds. But as I was thinking about this, I also had fond memories. You know, I happened to be there in Korea during the times where they were hosting the World Cup and they were getting into the semi-finals. Oh, everywhere we go, the people will be cheering whenever they see us. You know, we are just tourists, but we are wearing the red t-shirt to support Korea. Oh, they will be cheering with us. And I can see maybe this is also why people will be, you know, balloting for the tickets to attend the National Day parades, even though it can be seen on live telecast. The people want to be there to feel it. So I can acknowledge that there is this indescribable vibe when we are gathered in huge numbers for a transcendent purpose as one. In Jubilee Church, I feel that, especially in our combined services, especially during Easter and Christmas. I can imagine such an atmosphere being amplified by the thousands when it is during the tri-annual festival in Jerusalem. And this is why the psalmist mourns to God. He wants to go back to worship in the Jerusalem temple. But for now, he couldn't. Now why? Why couldn't he go back? Now this is the challenging question for this psalm, because we're not given much information about this. However, there are two clues in the header of the psalm, where it says this is a maskil of the sons of Korah. There are two clues there. The first clue is that this psalm is composed by the sons of Korah. The backstory of Korah can be found in Numbers chapter 16 of the Old Testament. So it may be possible that maybe this psalm is referencing something that happened to Korah or to his, most likely to his descendants. But since I'll be speaking on Psalm 43 next week, by the way, Psalm 43 and Psalm 42 are combined as one psalm. So I've decided to share about this significance of Korah next week. Today, instead, I will be focusing on the second clue, which is that this psalm is a maskil psalm. The root word of maskil in Hebrew is the word for wisdom or for skill, good skill. So even though it isn't stated explicitly, there are many who believe that this maskil psalms are songs of encouragement, prayers and praises, of instruction to the congregation. They are teaching psalms. So what is it that this psalm hopes to teach or hopes to motivate from the people? I believe that it teaches the people of Israel how to deal with their physical separation from the Jerusalem temple. We can imagine that there must be a lot of times where the people of Israel is not able to go out to the Jerusalem temple for their annual festivals in worship. Individually, maybe if it's for the individual person when they have to pray such psalms, maybe it's due to illnesses or maybe personal emergencies that they have. This year they cannot go. Maybe it's like that. But more importantly, when this is prayed collectively, it could be due to war, or more importantly, it could be due to being deported in exile. Now, we know from the sermons from the past few weeks about how the Assyrians, they were exiled, you know, thousands of Israel when they conquered the northern kingdom. And it is the same when the Babylonians conquered the south. So this psalm becomes a very meaningful worship song, a prayer for all the people who are living in exile, that they can offer up to God to express their longing of wanting to return back to Jerusalem in worship. And undoubtedly, the psalmist and those who, you know, worship using these psalms, they know that God's presence is with them. Otherwise, why would they even pray this psalm and pray to God? Why would they even bother if they think that God is not with them? They know God is with them. This is why they pray. But it is because how the troubles and sorrow and longing that overwhelm them, be it personal sickness or be it collectively as they are all living in exile, it can make them feel alienated with God, even though they know that God is with them. And so the psalmist declares to God, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God?" This verse 9, seems like a paradox. Because if God is the rock, then it is a metaphor of his strong and steady presence. If God is the rock, then the psalmist should be protected from all storms and waves. How can the psalmist be lamenting to God and yet still profess that God is my rock? How can it be? Furthermore, it is logically impossible to say that God can forget anything or anyone. Not possible. God does not forget. So herein lies the most valuable lesson that we can learn from this psalm. that our faith in God is often a paradox. Just as how the psalmist reflect about this, it is valuable because he brings out this honest inner dialogue that we have whenever we are faced with times of trouble. He says to himself, "Why are you, O my soul, why are you in turmoil within me? Why are you cast down? Hope in the Lord, you." He's telling himself, "I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." So this is the line that is repeated twice in our psalm today and repeated again in the second half in Psalm 43. This cry, which is repeated many times, the key of this psalm, reminds me of the cry to Jesus from this father of the possessed child in Mark chapter 9. He was crying out to Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." This is the paradox. This is the inner cry in many of us. "I believe, help my unbelief." We may believe that God is our rock. We may believe that God is present no matter where we worship. We may believe that indeed God is my salvation. We may believe that yes, God never forgets. But this psalm also teaches us that we can pray, "Where are you, God?" We can lament to God saying, "Have you forgotten about me?" We can be honest about our longing and say that we are thirsty for him, like a deer pants for the water. And the psalm teaches us to tell ourselves to hope in God. Now, talking to yourself and telling yourself what to do talking to ourselves aloud and writing it down, it may seem very strange to some of us, you know, who prefer to bottle up everything and pretend that everything is fine. "No, I'm okay. I'm all right." But actually, it's not. It's actually a very important mental tool for us to stay resilient in our faith. In psychology, we call this affect labeling, labeling your emotions. Years of research has shown that if we can just state and name, identify the negative emotion that we are experiencing, and we can describe it succinctly, what is causing that feeling, we can reduce its hold on us. But this is not about wallowing in our own negative emotions. It's not about this. It is about keeping it crisp and using it as a mental stepping stone towards thinking more clearly about solutions. Where do we go from here? Now, so we see in our psalm today how the psalmist was writing down how he was feeling, what is causing all these feelings. He described the enemies that he's facing who are mocking his faith in God. He's calling out to God directly. And more importantly, he was being honest with his doubts, with his questions, so that he can reflect and tell himself what he needs to do. And when he did all that, he discovered his source of strength. He remembered. He remembered. "My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls, all of your breakers and waves, they have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steady love. By night, his song is with me, a prayer to God on my life." When the psalmist labels his emotions and desires and brought them out to God, he remembers the true nature of his relationship with God. That despite this seeming alienation that he feels, he might have felt, he now knows that this is only temporal. But what is eternal is the steadfast love of God, a reminder of God's covenant with his people. And God has spoken to him as he prayed in songs and in prayers, his love washing over him. The troubles that we may feel may seem overwhelming for this present moment, but we must remember that his love is always greater. As Paul declares that, "I'm convinced neither death, life, angels, demons, present, future, or any power, any height, depth, anything in creation, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, speaking of Christ Jesus our Lord, we must remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Now, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that you ask for a drink, because this Jesus was asking for a drink from the Samaritan woman. He says that if you only knew who is asking this drink, if you only knew me, you would have asked and he would have given you living water. What is living water? That whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. As we read Psalm 42, we see a single deer driven almost mad by the heat of the sun, stumbling along a desert landscape in exhaustion. But this deer suddenly comes upon water. A trickle in the rocks would have been enough. But suddenly he experienced these flowing streams, living water in abundance. To all of us who are present in this place, and to all the viewers out there watching the live streaming at home, I hope this Maskil Psalm today brings you renewed strength, that your thirst to worship God once again in one big Jubilee family in this place, it will one day be quenched. The thirst will be quenched. That we will come and appear before God one day as one united body. We know that that will be fulfilled because our faith is built upon God Himself, God our rock. But for now, what should we do? We have to pray. Just as how the Psalm instructs us to do, we have to pray and we have to remember. Just as how God's love will bring us to do, we have to pray, we have to remember, and we have to hope, just as how we will tell ourselves to do. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, and I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Now, for the people living in exile, we know that their hope was not in vain. That eventually they did return to Jerusalem in worship, and there they rebuilt the temple. And in Ezra chapter 3, this is what it says. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to God, "Yes, we are back. God is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. And if God is willing, let that also be fulfilled amongst us soon." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray to you. And we want to remember, indeed, you are our salvation. We pray for this Jubilee family, even though we may be separated wherever we are. But one day we know we will come before you as one in worship. We pray for your healing hands upon this land. We pray for your salvation amongst us. All this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.